In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From his pure and kingly hall steps forth the Lord of all to bear our sins in his body, to make reconciliation between God and men, to ride forth into Jerusalem to bring forth the new kingdom of his grace by his death upon the cross. The Lord Jesus rides into the city to die. The second and greater Adam re-enters paradise in order that he might be cast out once again outside its walls to die in ignominy in the most torturous way man has ever devised for his brother. But in doing so, the Lord raises up for David a righteous shoot, indeed the king whose kingdom will have no end. And this kingdom is brought about, this king revealed to the nations upon the cross in the death of Jesus. The righteous shoot of David is lifted up and we are saved. We dwell securely, and he is known by the name the Lord our righteousness. Think about that for a minute. The Lord our righteousness. He is the one who makes us righteous. It's not your works that merit God's favor. It's not your righteousness that sets you pure and holy before God. It's not the things you do that please God. You stand holy before God because Jesus is your righteousness, the one who has stepped forth from his pure and kingly hall to carry out his heroic course. And he does this because the works of the flesh are evident. St. Paul says, put on the armor of light, to behave as properly as in the day, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because of just how evident these fallen works are. It's easy to see them in the news, in the culture, and outside these walls. But can you see them in yourself? You're called to live as a Christian in your divinely given vocation, but you always act as one named with the name of Christ. Do you not know that you've been set free from sin, death, and the devil? So why do you act as though you're still in bondage? As though we're still under chains? As though we had no Savior? As though the Lord had not come forth to meet us? As though the Lord had not come forth to fight for us, to take up our cause, to be our Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God on our side, God our champion. We're not unique in this. Lot's wife looked back. The children of Israel always looked back, grumbling against God himself and against Moses. I hate this worthless bread from heaven. Why didn't you leave us in Egypt where there was food to the fill? Never mind the back-breaking, torturous labor and bondage we were in. But that's how foolish and stupid sin is. Sin hates the freedom which God gives by virtue of his Son. If the crowds had known why Jesus entered their city, would they have asked him to turn back? Certainly there are times you'd like to, that you'd like to be free of what it means to be named by his name. Sin clamors after the old way of life. That's why we want to always be looking back. But what's so desirable about drunkenness, strife, and jealousy anyway? Or is it just the illusion that you're getting to call the shots, that you get to go your own way? Sin ultimately, though, clamors after death. That is, after all, where seeking your own way leads. To seek your own way, your own law, is to be left there in torment. Thus, from his pure and kingly hall steps forth the Lord of all, and into hell his road does indeed go down, as he comes to bear in his body all those sins, all those iniquities, all that hardness of heart, All that drunkenness, carousing, promiscuity, sensuality, strife, and jealousy, whatever it is that divides you from your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it is that divides you from your brothers and sisters in the flesh, whatever makes you look at your neighbor in suspicion or derision, Jesus comes to bear it all in his body. His road goes down into hell even as he suffers the wrath of his Father for that sin, suffers the punishment for that sin, dying the death that's rightfully yours. And then as he goes to proclaim his victory, Jesus, the second and greater Adam, re-enters paradise only to be cast out and die. But unlike the first, he doesn't die because of his own disobedience. He doesn't die for his own sin. He dies for yours. He dies in your place. He goes to the place of Adam's cemetery that you don't have to. He pours out his blood to reconcile you to his Father. He dies to open paradise to you once more. The Lord of all steps forth from his pure and kingly hall once again, even now. Not as he did then in humility, but still in that same flesh and blood, though in grace and in mystery, wrapped in bread and wine, to make his dwelling within you for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, that he might deliver you from this present darkness and this bondage that you still must endure. So don't think yourself somehow untimely born, that what you receive from Jesus now is somehow less than he did then. He comes, no less forcefully, in his body and blood for you, to enliven your weak and frail flesh, which fights against his word and doesn't want to believe his goodness and doesn't want to receive from him what he most desires. Jesus comes as he pleases, whether he's asked to or not, whether you want him to or not. The people of Jerusalem didn't ask him to ride on a donkey and enter into the city triumphantly, but he does so because that's what they need, because he's the righteous shoot of David, who acts wisely and does justice and righteousness in the land. He's lifted up to save his people and to plant you safely and securely into his kingdom, into the promised land of his church. Jesus joins you to his cross, to his passion and death, as you're washed in those bloody waters and named with his name. As those nail-scarred hands are laid upon your head and you hear that word of absolution spoken from upon the cross into your ear even now. As the body and blood born of Mary, raised up upon the cross, seated at the Father's right hand, is placed into your mouth yet this morning. The Lord of all steps forth to make you his pure and kingly hall. Not because you deserve it, not because you've merited it, but because he loves you. Because he is gracious and merciful. And he will not let you be ashamed. He will not let your enemies triumph over you or be vindicated in front of you. Rather, it's the opposite. He will vindicate you in front of them. You shall not be ashamed, for you trust in God in Christ. None who wait on the Lord will be ashamed. So we wait, but not as those who have been abandoned. We wait as those who have put on the Lord Jesus. We wait as those who are heirs and children of heaven by God's grace in Christ Jesus for his sake. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when he shall step forth from his pure and kingly hall at the Father's right hand to judge the living and the dead, to raise all the dead, and to grant eternal life to all who believe in him and who cling to him by faith. The world is always afraid, always in terror of that day. But not us. The one who comes to judge the nations, the one who is a terror to his foes, is he who stands by our side, The one whose love for us is the cause of his incarnation. The one whose love for us drives him to hell, even as he bears our sins in his body. Who endures the full fire of the Father's wrath for our sin, and every arrow, spear, accusation, and torment of hell itself, as he hangs in agony upon the holy cross. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. So we look forward with anticipation, with joy, to the day of Jesus' return in glory. And why shouldn't we? Because we are those who receive his coming now in grace and mystery, even as we received his coming then in humility. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Live as befitting a Christian. For behold, that day is coming when shall step forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man, not to begin his salvific work again, but to bring about the fulfillment and the completion of that work, of every promise that he has made us, that of our own resurrection, and the perfection and glorification of our bodies like unto his own. For he who is gracious and merciful loves us, and for that we shall not be afraid. Receive him who is God of God, yet fully man, who contented himself to be enclosed in the virgin's womb, that he might ride on a borrowed donkey into Jerusalem in order to lay down his life upon the cross for your sake, even the Lord your righteousness. That when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, when he comes to be a terror to his foes and to your own, that you may receive him in joy and glory. For Jesus, your brother of flesh and blood, is coming soon to gather you to himself from this dying and hateful world. You won't have to endure it much longer. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here, now, this morning, in bread and wine, in our bodies and in our mouths and in our souls, thy home. We shall receive you on that day, fit and prepared for our own resurrection. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Amen.